Okay, husbands. Oh, my goodness, my friends. It is so nice to be with you again today. It is President's Day, and as such, we are going to celebrate what it is like to be an American who lives in a country where we have somebody in charge who is not all by himself up there. No, no, no. The president is going to have, he's going to have people who help him
Yay,
make decisions.
Yay, president!
Mm-hmm. So we're going to learn a little bit about that by reading today's story, which is called The Next President. This is has a subtitle. It says The Unexpected Beginnings and Unwritten Future of America's Presidents. This story was written by Kate Messner and Adam Rex. And friends, this is a very important story because it tells you, it's going to tell you a lot about where we've been and where we're going and why you, my friends who are listening, are very important. Are you ready? Me too. Today's story is read by Mommy and...
The Happy Little Dinosaur.
The Happy Little Dinosaur.
Chomp.
Oh, I've been chomped. Ugh.
Chomp.
Yikesters. You better watch out, you guys. You don't know if you're going to get chomped next. Okay.
Chomp.
When we open it, it says, quick, name the President of the United States.
Donald Trump.
Yes, that is currently... the president. Mm-hmm. No matter when you read this book, there's only one right answer to that question because America only has one president at a time. But no matter who holds the job right now, the presidents of tomorrow are always out there. Some already know they'd like to run the country one day, and some are learning how government works as a member of Congress or representative in state or local or even student government. And some don't have a clue yet that one day they'll be president. So let's take a look at this. In 1789, when George Washington first became president of the United States, there were 9 future presidents already alive in America. 4 of them were working alongside Washington in the nation's new capital.
I'm guessing the 5th one, the 5 other ones are probably babies.
Maybe. Well, let's see. There's George Washington was number 1. President 2, John Adams, was Washington's vice president. Adams was known for having a short temper and getting into arguments. He was only one of the first 5 presidents who didn't enslave people. Oh. Thomas Jefferson was the next president, and he served as Secretary of State. In 1776, he had written the Declaration of Independence, which includes the words, "All men are created equal," even though Jefferson enslaved hundreds of people on his Virginia plantation. Well, they're going to figure that one out as we go. President number 4, James Madison, had grown up on a plantation in Virginia and now represented that state in the nation's new Congress. Madison wasn't always easy to hear with his quiet voice. And he ended up being America's smallest president. Madison was 5'4" tall and only weighed about 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. President number 5, James Monroe, had to run for Congress too, but he lost to Madison. Monroe would be elected to the Senate the following year, and like many future presidents, he intended to study law in college, but he dropped out to join the army. Now, 1789 came along. At the time of Washington's inauguration, that's when you get voted in as president, Presidents 6 and 7 were both practicing law. President 6 was John Quincy Adams, and he was about to open his own legal practice in Boston. And as a boy, he had traveled overseas with his father to ask France for help during the Revolutionary War. President number 7, Andrew Jackson, was living in a boarding house in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, Jackson was the son of Irish immigrants, and his father had died before he was born. He'd grown up with a reputation as an outsider, with a furious temper. Now, while Presidents 8, 9, and 12 were all kids, President 10 and 11 hadn't been born yet. President 8 was Martin Van Buren, and he was 7 years old, helping with chores on his parents' farm in Kinderhook, New York. President 9 was William Henry Harrison. He was 16 years old and studying medicine. President 12 was 4-year-old Zachary Taylor. He was living with his two brothers on the Kentucky farmland his father had been given for serving in the Revolutionary War. After 19 years in law and politics, and another 23 years before he'd be president, Andrew Jackson was running a Tennessee cotton plantation. He'd been in fights and duels before, but this time it was more serious. It all started when a man named Charles Dickinson accused Jackson of cheating on a horse bet and insulted Jackson's wife. Dickinson fired the first shot and hit Jackson close to his heart, but before Jackson fell, he fired back, killing Dickinson. The bullet that hit Jackson was too close to his heart for doctors to remove, and Jackson would carry it with him all the way to the White House in 1829. 33 years before he would be president, Abraham Lincoln was on his way to New Orleans working on a Mississippi riverboat full of farm produce. Lincoln cooked and navigated and did whatever else was needed to help out. In 1841, when William Henry Harrison became president number 9, there were 14 future presidents alive. Most of them were already involved in politics somehow.
14.
Mm-hmm. President 10 was John Tyler, and he had worked as a lawyer, a congressman, and a senator before he was elected to be Harrison's vice president. Now, some historians have called Tyler the accidental president because he had to take over when Harrison died of pneumonia at just 31 days into his term. It's a very short presidency. President number 23 was little Benjamin Harrison, who was 7 years old. Well, he actually wasn't there for the inauguration, but probably wished he could have been to see that moment because he would have been proud of his grandpa when William Henry Harrison took the oath of office. Now, back to President number 11, James K. Polk. He had a setback that year. He had been the governor of Tennessee, but he didn't get reelected. He lost to a 6'2", 125-pound man with the nickname Lean Jimmy Jones. And I'm going to say it, it was pretty lean of him. Polk did not give up on politics, though. He started talking with people about his desire to be nominated for vice president, and little Zachary Taylor, president number 12, was grown up and serving in the military now. Okay, so 1841, presidents 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 were all serving in government then. Ready? We're going to go through these pretty fast. President 13 was Millard Fillmore, who'd grown up as a quiet bookworm in central New York. He was in Congress. President 14, Franklin Pierce, had been serving as a senator but left Washington in 1841 to go home to New Hampshire at his wife's request. Happy wife, happy life.
James Buchanan
was president number 15, and he was in the Senate in 1841. Now, 16 years later, he would become the only president who never got married. He was a bachelor. President 16 was Abraham Lincoln, and my personal favorite. And he was serving in the Illinois legislature then. He'd done lots of other jobs before that. As a young man, Lincoln built things and sold groceries and did farm chores and even rode a ferry boat. Then President 17, Andrew Johnson, was elected to the state senate in Tennessee. He'd moved there with a cart and a pony way back in 1825 after he ran away from a tailor to whom he'd been apprenticed. Now, Presidents 18 and 19 were both in college in 1841. President 18 was Ulysses S. Grant, and he was attending the United States Military Academy at West Point, preparing for his time in the armed forces. President 19 was Rutherford B. Hayes, and he was studying at Kenyon College, preparing for a career in law. He had a reputation as a pretty good cook, even though cooking in student rooms was against the rules. Now, Presidents 20, 21, and 22 were all busy growing up. President 20, James Garfield, was working on an Ohio farm with his brothers and his mom. President 21 was Chester A. Arthur, and he was in school, but he'd moved around a lot with his father, who was a preacher who traveled from town to town. President 22, and later President 24, Grover Cleveland, also had a dad who was a preacher. His family traveled from church to church, too. Wherever he could, he snuck away to fish. Hmm. Now, after serving in the Illinois General Assembly and losing a race for the U.S. Senate, Abraham Lincoln finally made it to the White House and brought along two goats, Nanny and Nanko. Nanny used to get in trouble for eating blossoms out of the flower bed. And President Lincoln wasn't the only president with a penchant for pets. William Harding had an Arendelle dog named Laddie Boy, who used to attend cabinet meetings with the president. And when Calvin Coolidge was in the White House, Mrs. Coolidge had a raccoon named Rebecca that she took for walks on a leash. And then there was William Johnson's hippopotamus, nicknamed Billy, a pygmy hippo the president received as a gift in 1927. Billy ended up spending most of his life at the National Zoo. And of course, Theodore Roosevelt's White House visitors might have met Bill, the lizard, Maud, the pig, Josiah, the badger, Baron Spreckle, the hen, and Peter, the rabbit. The Roosevelts also had a hyena, a barn owl, some ducks in the fountain, an Icelandic pony named Algonquin, and a small bear named Jonathan Edwards. Oh, and a handful of snakes. And one of the snakes belonged to the first daughter, Alice, who said she named it Emily Spinach because it was green and as thin as her Aunt Emily. Now, meanwhile, Thomas Jefferson and William McKinley were partial to birds. Jefferson had a mockingbird named Dick who perched on his shoulder sometimes while he worked. And McKinley had a parrot named Washington Post who would supposedly whistle the song Yankee Doodle. Let's go back to the presidents. All right, in 1897, when President 25, who was William McKinley, moved into the White House with his vice president, Garrett Hobart, there were 9 future presidents alive. President 26 was Theodore Roosevelt, and he was serving as Assistant Secretary of the Navy. And that might not seem like a very exciting job after all of his wild years as a cattle rancher in the Badlands of South Dakota, but before long, Roosevelt could get a bigger job. He became Vice President after the death of Garrett Hobart. President 27 was William Howard Taft. He was serving as a judge and teaching at the University of Cincinnati Law School. Now, Taft was a big man who had a reputation as a fighter and a wrestler when he was growing up. Other future presidents were busy with different jobs. President 28, Woodrow Wilson, was teaching at Princeton University and liked to ride his bike around campus. President 29, Warren G. Harding, was running the Marion Star, an Ohio newspaper he'd purchased with 2 friends. President 30, Calvin Coolidge, was working as a lawyer in Northampton, Massachusetts. He'd learned all about hard work helping out in his father's general store when he was a kid. He'd worn his hair on the long side in college, but he'd had to cut it shorter when he took the job in the law and realized what serious work he would be doing. Now, President 31, Herbert Hoover, had studied engineering in college and was managing a gold mine operation in Australia, of all places.
Yeah!
Mm-hmm. In 1897, Presidents 32, 33, and 34 were kids then. Let's check it out. President 32 was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he was 15 and loved sailing when his family vacationed in Maine. Roosevelt was a collector, too. He kept detailed notebooks about his postage stamps and bird's nest and egg collections. Now, President 33, Harry Truman, who was turning 13 that year, played piano, loved to read, especially biographies, and later on, before he became president, he would work as a timekeeper for a railroad gang and spend time farming cows and pigs. President 34 was 7-year-old Dwight D. Eisenhower, and he was helping out with the family garden with his brothers. The boys also worked at their father's creamery after school. And when he had free time, Dwight liked playing baseball and football. Now, Theodore Roosevelt wins the prize for the president who had the most adventures on his way to the White House. After he finished law school, he took off for Europe and climbed the Matterhorn in the Alps. And he moved out west for a while and bought a ranch in South Dakota and spent time riding and roping and hunting. Even after Roosevelt became vice president in 1901, he snuck off to explore. He was climbing Mount Marcy, the tallest peak in the Adirondacks, when a messenger arrived to tell him President William McKinley had taken a turn for the worse after being shot by an assassin in Buffalo. Roosevelt left for Buffalo the next day, but McKinley died before he got there. Roosevelt was sworn in as president before he could even unpack his bags. At 42, he became the youngest president to take office. Now, let's jump forward in time. 1961. Ready? But it was President 35, John F. Kennedy, who was the youngest to be elected to the job. Kennedy was 43 years old when he took the oath of office, and the next 10 presidents were alive then too, scattered across the country. So, President 36 was Lyndon Baines Johnson, and he was serving as JFK's vice president, and that was a fancier job than the others had held, than any of the others that he had held. As a kid, Johnson had shined shoes and picked cotton. And after high school, he'd moved out to California to pick oranges and wash dishes and earn money for college. President 37, Richard Nixon, had served as vice president under Dwight D. Eisenhower and hoped to be the next president, but he'd lost the 1960s election to Kennedy, so he left for the White House and moved to California, too. Many people think our nation's first televised debates had a big role in Nixon's defeat. TV was new then. Nixon didn't practice as much as Kennedy did, and he also refused to use professional makeup, even though he'd been in the hospital recently. After the first debate, his mom called him on the phone to ask him if he was feeling all right. Now, in 1961, President number 38, Gerald Ford, was serving in Congress. He'd come a long way from his awkward teenage years when he bought his first car, a $75 Ford coupe with a rumble seat, and promptly set it on fire by covering the hood with blankets on a winter night while the engine was still hot. Oh, Gerald. Now, President number 39, Jimmy Carter, was running a peanut farm in Georgia and serving on his local school board.
Peanut. Wait, why doesn't anyone make potatoes or carrots?
Well, there are lots of potatoes and carrots being farmed. Many of these guys who were presidents did do farming. A lot of them, in fact. Haven't you been listening?
Yeah, but no one's making potatoes. I want the presidents to make potatoes.
Well, hold on.
It turns out President 18 might have farmed and made potatoes.
That's right.
So potatoes are made by president.
Yeah, President 18. Well, that was Grant. President Grant might have farmed potatoes. He did farm potatoes. Now, President 40, Ronald Reagan, was working as a TV host before becoming president. He had also announced play-by-play sports on the radio, acted in movies, and served as governor of California. President number 41, George H.W. Bush, wouldn't lead the nation for another 28 years. But in 1961, he was president of an oil exploration company called Zapata Offshore. Now, in 1961, the presidents 42, 43, 44, and 45 were all kids. Yeah, that's right. President 42, Bill Clinton, was 15 years old and going to school in Arkansas, where he loved debate and playing the tenor saxophone. In 1963, he would be chosen as a delegate to Boys Nation, where he'd meet President Kennedy and shake his hand. President 43, George W. Bush, which, by the way, is number 41's son, was 15 in 1961 and attending prep school in Massachusetts. Now, by senior year, he'd signed up for the cheerleading squad as a yell leader. President 44, Barack Obama, was born that year, the son of an American woman and a Kenyan man who'd met at the University of Hawaii, and their little boy would grow up to be the first African-American president of the United States.
First. Mm-hmm. African-American.
Yep. And President number 45, Donald Trump, was a teenager then, and he was attending New York Military Academy, where his father had hoped he'd learn some discipline. And where is the, let's see, after that came Joe Biden, and he's not in this book. He's not mentioned in this book. And then again came Donald Trump one more time, because why not have two? And where is the next president now? It's exciting to think about, isn't it? The truth is, America's earliest presidents weren't all that different from one another. They were mostly wealthy, white, Protestant men who would have been surprised if they'd been around to see a Catholic or an African-American elected president or a woman nominated by a major party for the highest office in the land. But all of those things have happened because America is always changing, and it is changing now. When voters choose the next president, they won't look at the past, but at the future and the ever-hopeful vision of what America could be. So where is the next president? At least 10 of our future presidents are probably alive today. And if we go by the odds, 3 of them are likely serving in government somewhere already. 1 is in college or in the military, and 3 probably have other jobs, perhaps practicing law or building things or teaching or running a business. And at least 3 of our future presidents are kids. What are they doing right now? They might be solving math problems or reading books or writing poetry or code or testing a hypothesis or learning to dance or making art or making change.
Probably one is drawing an art picture right now with crayons.
Do you think so? Maybe. Well, for now, they're busy growing up and growing into the job. They're listening, they're learning, they're getting ready to take the lead. And my friends, this book also has some really great things about presidential birthplaces. If you've ever been curious, a lot of the presidents have come from all different places in our country. And there's just one thing you need to know about the, well, 3 things that you have to have in order to be the president. You have to have been a citizen since you were born. You have to be at least 35 years old. And you have to have lived in the United States for at least 14 years. So, as soon as you hit 35, my friend, guess what you get to do? Run for presidency. Vote for Philip. Would you do it?
Mommy, I'm tiny little baby dinosaur.
I'm sorry.
I'm a happy little dinosaur.
Well, vote for happy little dinosaur? I would.
Don't?
He's a dinosaur. Oh, yeah, that's true. He might go stomping on things or eat things. All right, well, it was worth a thought. And that, our dear friends, is
the end.
The end.
Jump!
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.